than an old empty beer can can buy a man a dime. I woke November morning, hungover.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Ronk, host of the show. You're listening to Association Impact today on the Michigan Business Network. We are learning about standard setting, and my guest is AJ Gruber, president of the International Safe Transit Association. All right, we were talking about voluntary standards and how for many organizations they are mandatory because they need to be in compliance because you really leverage those for enforcement. So let's talk a little bit about this enforcement process. So someone orders a refrigerator and it comes damaged. At what point do they come to you or to the shipper to figure out how they get a new replaced refrigerator?
Sure. Yeah, we thankfully are removed from that situation.
So you are. Okay.
It's the carrier, I guess, is what we would refer to UPS as. That interaction is between the carrier and their customer.
Okay.
So our standards being used as sort of a mediator in all of that, but we're not involved in the enforcement of that.
Okay. But you are involved in the enforcement of some.
For packaged products that we certify.
Okay.
We will enforce that standard.
So let's give an example of what that would be. So is this something delivered at home?
So this would be, when I say certify, we're certifying the actual packaged product solution. So say Apple, as an example,
yes,
has designed a new crazy phone, and they want to, they've designed the phone, they've designed the packaging, and they want to certify that solution, that packaged product solution for shipment.
Okay.
They then take that to a certified laboratory and have it tested, submit the result to us, and then we will ensure that the testing was run correctly. We'll document what the packaged product was, what the packaging looked like, and then we're able to enforce that packaging remains consistent.
Okay. So if they came and they were doing something funky, drones. You know what? You're going to get your phone now in a drone, and it's going to be dropped on the front doorstep. And we find that the packaging is not sufficient enough for that drop stage. You would go back and say it's not sufficient, right? Or would you say that the laboratory?
As long as the packaged product hasn't changed at all, we will stand behind the certification of that packaged product for what it was certified against.
Okay.
So if they ran a test on it and certified it to a test procedure that mimicked the small parcel shipping environment like UPS,
yes,
or FedEx.
Yes.
And that now they're dropping it from drones.
Yes.
We would still stand behind that certification to the small parcel test.
Yes.
We wouldn't necessarily be saying that, hey, that test is representing the fact that it's going to be dropped from drones from,
yes,
20 feet in the air, you know,
right,
or what have you.
Okay. Okay. So it's based on the situation of how it's coming in.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So do you work with all these different laboratories? You were talking about certifying these labs.
Mm-hmm.
You work with labs in all over the world?
We do. When I say certifying the labs, that certification process is really certifying their equipment and their capabilities that their equipment contains. So
okay,
we have a process set up where, yeah, we work with these labs worldwide to look at the way their equipment's calibrated, the way it,
uh-huh,
performs, its capacity, et cetera, and then we're certifying that the laboratory to a certain level.
Is there ever a time where your organization will help settle a dispute on whether the package was, or the whatever was being transported, was from the original site or was from the carrier? Are you ever involved in anything like that?
No, typically no.
Okay.
Our certification we're standing behind is that it's met, the package products met the performance standard of one of our,
yeah,
distribution simulation tests. And we will stand behind that as long as everything's in compliance with what we certified, if there ever is a dispute.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's a voluntary standard, and we're able to stand behind our standards and present them, you know, on a factual basis for what they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not a mandatory standard.
Right.
And, you know, it's really at the end of the day, if in the situation with the carrier, it's really going to come down to the carrier's determination on that packaging.
Right. So one of the key things then is the borrowing of brilliance that happens, because when some members are finding that they're doing something new, they can bring that into the standards for everyone else to use.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So let's say one company decided, all right, we are now using drones and we're dropping them on front porches, and they come up with the best way to package that. That could be added into the standards that then everyone would use.
Well, the best way to package it wouldn't be added into the standards.
Yes.
What would be added into the standards is how the drone's delivering the package.
Okay.
And
all right.
Then it's on the company to decide.
Side.
Okay. What's the best way to package
all right.
it.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that clarification. All right. So with members, do they often sort of police each other? Is there anything where they're directing, if one entity is not using the standards, do they encourage that uniformity?
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's really it's either going to be somebody that's manufacturing a product enforcing a standard with one of their vendors. It's going to be a retailer enforcing standards with one of their vendors. It can be a carrier enforcing a standard with one of their customers. But yeah, it really comes down to those member types enforcing and policing the use of standards with their customers.
Perfect. Great. Well, we need to take a short break. So we want everyone to stay with us. We're still learning a lot about standard setting with A.J. Gruber, president of the International Safe Transit Association.
Her Great Lakes and her rivers are flowing sweet as wine, and an old empty beer can buy a man a dime.